Dave. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Hello, Si.
And hello, listeners. Welcome to the Infinite Loopcast 2018, the first one of the year. Well, second one of the year. Wait, are we counting the other one as this year?
Yes, nah. It is.
Is it?
Yes, because we recorded it last week.
Shh, they don't have to know that.
Well, no. It was released the same day it was recorded.
No, they don't have to know that. Okay, well, welcome to the first proper episode of 2018. And now we can talk about all the games we've been playing over Christmas, I guess. What's that? I mean, you spoke about some last week, I guess, in your games of the year. Dave, you've been ploughing away in Mario Odyssey some more.
I've finished Mario Odyssey.
You finished it? Finished, yeah. Like, is it all the stars, or...?
Oh my god, okay.
The moons, so, yeah.
Yeah, moons, but, I mean...
Moons? What is this nonsense?
Well, moons are the new stars. So, no, it's the long and short. I've defeated Bowser in an epic battle of wits. And then there's like an end game. And it's a little bit spoilery. I don't know if people are going to be alright with me talking about it.
No.
Probably not.
Okay.
You can allude to it, but that's what I was.
I've been enjoying the post game of Mario Odyssey, where extra stuff becomes available to do. And it's a really cool game. You can get up to 999 moons, which are the equivalent of stars, to give you an idea of the scale of this thing. So there is a lot of content going on in this game.
So are they all preset?
What do you mean?
Like they have set tasks or set locations?
Yeah, for sure. It wouldn't really work if it didn't. Would it?
But it's not like there's random ones or ones when you get a certain number of coins or anything like that.
No, so coins have become almost irrelevant. Coins are literally used to buy stuff now. Which, in my mind, took a lot longer to get used to than it probably should have done. But yeah, coins have just become a currency that you use to buy stuff from the shop. They don't heal you. You've got to pick up a heart to heal. You get 3 health segments unless you pick up an extra health segment, but that's only temporary for that life. So it's got a different difficulty curve in that respect. Other Mario titles.
So, okay, so in the post, how many moons are there?
I finished the game with something like 300 moons.
Oh, right, so that's significantly more than, say, Galaxy or Sunshine, where you need about 90 or something.
So I think you only needed about 140 or something to finish the game.
I'm assuming they're more plentiful than stars in the other games then.
They are.
Was it in Galaxy? Was it stars as well? Lumos, wasn't it? Lumens.
Yeah.
They're like little star fellas, aren't they?
Yeah, basically. They're being moony. So, yeah... They're much more plentiful than any of the other games, and that's caused a bit of controversy. So some people really like that, me. Some people really don't like that, people on Reddit.
And there's still some difficult ones.
Yeah, for sure. And the difficulty definitely goes up when you finish the game. So the post-game stuff is definitely harder than the in-game stuff, which I get, like, as a design decision. Why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah, more people can actually complete the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's plenty more for people who want more.
Yeah, correct. Like, I don't get the whole, it's not hard enough thing. Like, all right, we'll just play the rest of the stuff, which is hard. The whole game doesn't need to be rocked. Like, people feel that games should be only ever tailored for them.
No, I think that's much better, because some games, they're difficult. They're right, the final boss is the most difficult thing. And then, you know, the post-game content, you go around collecting everything. But by that point, everything's a cakewalk for you. So you're just literally running around collecting. Maybe there'll be one or two missions where a little bit tricky. You know, say Assassin's Creed, you're just running around collecting everything, but you've already got all the best gear and stuff in the game.
Right.
So, you know, it's nice that you can see the end of the game, let's say, or the end of the story. But you've got plenty more game if you want plenty more game.
Yeah, it works really well. Really well.
I mean, how many hours does it take you to get to the end of the story, roughly?
So the one downside with the Switch is it doesn't track your playtime properly. It's all a little bit round and about to get your playtime. It's taken me a lot. I reckon I've been in that game for 20 to 30 hours, probably.
Okay.
And that's obviously beyond where you need it to be, because you only need 140 and I have 300-ish. But, yeah, it's massive. I mean, it's a colossal game. There isn't going to be much replay value, though. Like, once you finish everything there is to do, I don't think they're going to be announcing DLC or anything like that. So that there is going to be a limit to its shelf life.
You don't think they'll add DLC?
They've not. Normally, Nintendo are quite candid about this sort of thing. And if that's something that they want to do or are planning to do, they'll say it straight up.
I mean, did they say it was Zelda?
Yeah, they announced it right at the beginning with Zelda.
Did they say it with Mario Kart 8?
Yes, I think there was always two packs planned.
Okay, so.
So they're quite candid, and generally, as per normal with Nintendo, you'll get a full experience for your money, and then the DLC will just be, if you want, even more bang for your buck.
Bang for your back.
Bang for your back. Correct. Mario Odyssey for me really was my game of the year.
It was game of the year, okay.
Yeah.
2017,
yeah. And probably 2018 so far.
I mean, can you see anything on the horizon that can knock that?
No.
You've not played Horizon Zero Dawn yet, come on, you gotta.
I've got fractional interest in Horizon Zero Dawn.
I don't. Why? What is it that doesn't appeal to you about Horizon Zero Dawn?
The whole game.
The whole game?
Yeah.
I mean.
The setting, the everything, yeah.
But why? You like other games with similar settings.
I quite liked, what was that one on the Xbox? Where you had to get your little robot buddies. Recall.
I mean, I don't think this is like Recall, though. Is it because of the robots?
Yeah.
I mean, this is more just like...
It's a robot game. So Detroit Become Humans going to be the same.
No. More specifically, it's a robot dinosaur game.
I don't think it's... but, you know, gameplay-wise, it's more Monster Hunter-y or...
I've got concerns about Monster Hunter, don't I?
Well, okay, but I think it's... Or maybe even more similar to Assassin's Creed or something.
But I just... Yeah, I don't know what it is about Horizon. It's just... From its announcement, just hasn't... There isn't anything about it apart from maybe how pretty it looks.
I mean, a lot of people are saying the gameplay is fantastic in that game. It just surprises me that you write it off so easily without even...
It's not that I write it off easily. It's that I don't finish games, and it's not even something that I'm going to bother starting because it doesn't excite me. That there is something about it that's fundamentally... It's a bit like PUBG.
Not really. I mean, PUBG's is a
No. Sorry, you've missed the point.
I don't mean even like it, but I think that's a different kind of, interest in if you want to play in PUBG.
No, but it's a different. It's the same thing for me. Like, it's just it doesn't. It may well be, you know. It is. It's the vast majority of people like game that they've put the most hours into last year, and for me, it holds absolutely zero interest. There is just something about it, and I was more interested in Fortnite, which is the same game. There is just something about it that put me off, and I don't know what it is.
I mean, but those are multiplayer, you know, they're big multiplayer games. You don't like big multiplayer games.
I do like big multiplayer games.
And you don't like medium-sized multiplayer games. Not MMOs, I don't mean MMOs.
I like, but Battlefield I like.
Okay.
Unless it's Battlefield 1, which I don't like.
You don't like Battlefield 1?
Well, I liked Battlefield 1 in the beta, and then something's happened between the beta and it coming out, and I've got crap at it, so I don't like it now.
it's your how good you are at
yeah, yeah. You know, when, like,
this is why you like Odyssey, isn't it? A baby's just, game.
You stop enjoying a game because you're just doing really badly at it. I have that. At the moment, that is my problem with Battlefield 1.
You can get that with PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds very easy. You can.
So my issue with Battlefield 1 is I'll play it, and then there'll be a guy sniping like on the other side of the map, who'll just perfectly curl his bullet round the back of the statue I'm hiding behind and headshot me every single damn time I'm playing. and that's my issue with Battlefield 1. I don't feel it's fair.
I mean, yeah, you're going to struggle with
Battlefield. Because I'm crap at it.
Alright, so what about... I mean, this is... Okay. So let's go back to Odyssey then. So, you're recommending Odyssey. You think that's
Odyssey? Good. If you like platforming games, it's one of these games. So this is the thing with Mario games. They nail movement, and it's just fun throwing Mario around the screen. So from that perspective, I would recommend it regardless of if you like platformers or not, because it's just a really fun experience. Mario gets fun. The whole Cappy mechanics are really good. I was reading last night some sort of advanced techniques that I hadn't even thought were possible. But, of course, they are.
You can throw your hat and jump on your hat and stuff.
So you can triple jump off your hat. So if you're skilled and quick enough, you can literally get the triple jump going, so you stay on your hat the whole three jumps, which gets you further than the regular triple jump, which allows you to get through sections better and faster and stuff. Normal sort of ridiculousness that people find on the internet.
Yeah, we're speedrunning Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. And, you know, there was someone who's completed the game without officially registering a jump in the entire game.
Huh?
So there's only certain things that the game classifies as jumping.
Right. Pressing the jump button?
Yeah, so pressing the jump button, but it won't penalise you if you throw your hat and your hat makes you jump. So if you can make your hat approach from underneath you, it'll make you jump slightly.
Can you direct your hat then when you throw it?
You can do in two-player mode, but this has all been done in one-player mode. So you throw your hat and then it makes you jump, and there's people who've completed the entire game just by not jumping.
If you can't direct it, how do they make you?
So you can jump. It homes back on you when you.
But how does it end up underneath you?
Because if you get higher while it's been thrown, then it will come back underneath you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'm surprised that people have been able to complete the game, though. I guess they find everything.
Mate, these speedrunners are mad. I would say it's... If you at all have an interest in platform games, I would describe this game as essential. This is a essential video game.
Okay.
It's one that you really, 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 really owe it to yourself to play.
What's the music like in the game?
Wonderful. It's Mario.
It's always
generally Mario soundtracks. You know, it's different to the other ones. It doesn't have the same... Like, the Mario themes crop up now and again. It's difficult to talk about. So there's 2D platforming sections. That I can talk about. That's not a secret. There's 2D platforming sections that you sort of go into the wall to, and they'll use the old school classic sounds.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the other themes sort of come up, like the underground theme will come up when you go into the sewers in certain places.
Okay.
And there's like little nods to old music. There was one mad... This is what I found out this week about Mario Odyssey, which was... And this is a good example about why this game is so wonderful. So, the Nintendo Switch has some bizarre feature called HD Rumble, right? Which is just a... marketing ploy, apparently. But anyway, so there is an HD rumble, and apparently it makes your the Joy-Cons, when you've got them out separately, you can feel like the Joy-Cons being pulled one way or the other. Here's the twist. When you do it in Mario Odyssey, it plays the Mario theme tune. The tone of the vibrations is such that it will play the notes from the original Mario tune. It doesn't actually play the theme tune, but you can technically play it in order if you moved quick enough.
Hmm.
How mad is that? Like, just... And it's that sort of attention to detail that is really, like... It's really, really unique to the Mario games. I think. I don't know many others that do it like that.
Yeah, there is always these little hidden bits and nice little touches in Mario games. All right, so how many stars are you on now?
380?
Moons.
380? I mean, there's, as I said, there's a definite upshoot in difficulty.
So you're not even halfway yet?
No. No, no, I'm under
halfway. Are you going to go for all 999?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you get, it's a bit weird, you get 880 through completing the game.
Right.
And then you get the last 110 through buying them from the various shops in the game.
Okay, so that's a bit weird.
Yeah, especially in Mario. So 880 is the sort of official total.
If you're just buying completion things. So actually, coins do get you some of them, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, you can buy. So the rationale behind that, and this is, again, you know, a really nice Nintendo thing, is that if you are not very good at the game, you can still see it to completion.
Just by collecting enough coins?
Just by, yeah, basically. So by navigating the universe, you'll get enough stuff.
I mean, will you unlock the shops and complete the levels you need?
Yeah, just by buying the Power Moons from the shops. Okay. I think that's great, isn't it?
Somewhat, I guess. I mean, you still got to fight Bowser at the end.
Yeah, you still got to fight Bowser, but don't forget it's got the whole Nintendo. If you're doing really badly at the game, it will give you various boosts and things.
Yeah, I mean, then why is the other thing necessary? Why is buying all the stars?
Because it's
necessary?
Another way to make it easier, and they're not charging for it.
Of course they shouldn't.
But how many games have there been in like the last short while where they would literally that would be a chargeable microtransaction system?
I wonder if it was at some point and then they took it out.
No, it never. It's Nintendo. It was never going to be chargeable.
They've done it in the past. New Super Mario Bros. 2.
What? Pay to win?
Yeah. Pay to get coins, I think it was. That they unlock levels.
Interesting.
Yeah, New Super Mario. Because everyone's like, oh, Nintendo would never do this. New Super Mario Bros. 2 actually did it.
I take it back, Nintendo, you bastards.
Yeah, I know. Sack them.
Because, say, can't you keep going back? From what I heard, you can keep going back to one of the vendors after you finish it and just buy as many coins as you want.
You can't buy as many coins as you want. You can only buy.
Buy as many coins as you want.
Yeah.
Or no, you buy the coins.
Buy
power moons. Yeah, so you can buy, but it's only up. It's only the last 190, whatever it is. But that's enough to finish the game. So you could just finish the game by buying the coins and then going to beat Bowser.
Do they increase in value?
No. After you've beaten Bowser,
The shops don't go away.
No, there's an extra shop apparently after you beat Bowser. After the end, that you can buy unlimited amount of coins.
You can't buy unlimited. It just lets you buy the rest of the last few things that you need.
That's not what I heard, but yeah, anyway, okay.
No, you can't. It doesn't let you buy 990 coins.
Moons.
No. It allows you to go buy a certain amount of moons, but you can go back and buy another certain amount of moons. And keep going back.
Is it bugged?
Maybe that one was bugged, I don't know. But yeah, apparently, yeah, somebody found that they could keep going back and buy as many moons as they wanted.
So maybe
that was bugged.
No.
For them.
Maybe there's even more moons you have to wait. How much do moons cost?
Moons are 100 coins. Like, they're not expensive. I think they're 100 coins off the top of my head.
Yeah, but then how many do you have to buy? 120 of them?
Yeah, it's just like it's a decent amount.
120,000 coins you got to collect.
Yeah.
No, 100. Wait, have I done that right? Yeah. No. 12,000 coins. 100.
It's a decent amount of coins. You're not going to be running out of stuff to buy in that game anytime soon.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Is that just going to be a grind at the end of the game?
No. Well, some people are saying it's a bit of a grind, but frankly, I don't. There's a couple of costumes. You can buy costumes at various points. If you want to completely 100% the game, and for some reason you've decided that you have to have all the costumes, most of which don't do anything, a few of which unlock a level,
Is there any way to lose coins? If you get hit,
lose coins, no.
They don't go scattering out your body and you have to go collect them all up again.
No. Yes, every time you die, you lose 10 coins. But okay. to get 10 coins back is laughable.
I mean, does an enemy drop one coin?
Enemies drop, I think, about two or three coins each.
Oh, okay, so... All right, that's a bit more reasonable.
It's a very generous system. I've got no problem with that, and I'm very easy to be angered.
Cool. I've been playing an essential platformer.
Go on.
It is a platformer. I've been playing Cuphead.
Cuphead's definitely a platformer. It's a platform come Twitch shooter.
Yes, it's a twin stick shooter / platformer / what do they call? What would you call? What is that game? Metal Slug, or
they're
Bionic Commando.
They're shooters, aren't they?
Traditional shooters. So yeah, it's one of those. There's a bit of platforming. Most of the levels aren't actually platforming levels. I guess because you have the boss battle. Have you played it at all?
No.
Aaron, have you given Cuphead a go?
No, it's a platformer.
You don't like the platformers?
I'm not particularly keen on platformers.
So I guess some of the boss battles you would do your platforming in. Most of the time most of the fights are these boss battles against these crazy bosses. A lot of them quite difficult. I'm just plowing my way through it. I had a friend, he didn't know that you could dash, and he was struggling his way through all the levels. He'd been struggling through them on easy. And when I went around his house, this is what really got me into the game. I went up there and I was like, you know, you can, like, he was like never dashing. And of course, if you never dash, you're going to get hit by everything and you're going to die.
Mm.
And I was like, there's a dash button. Why didn't you tell me there's a dash button? He's like, I didn't know there was one. And then, like, as soon as we found out there's a dash button, everything became instantly easier. It's still very difficult. I'm not, but we managed to at least beat some of the first bosses. It's an interesting. You know, I find there's a lot of weird decisions you have to make. Like, you know, you can build up supers. So the more you hit someone, the more you build up your super. And your X attack or whatever, your EX, like, you know, like in a fighting game.
Yeah.
And then when you've built up five of them, you can do a super EX attack. But if you build up five of them, you have to do the super one, which maybe you don't always want to do. Maybe you want to use like five of the smaller ones. So you sort of have to balance deciding whether to use the smaller ones. Because once you've reached five, it doesn't keep increasing. And if you know there's a point later in the battle you want to release the super, building up to that five quite early means you're just not using any of that up. So when you get to about 4.5, maybe you want to use one or two, because by the time you reach the later boss, you'll have built up enough again to be on the five.
Right.
So you want to burn off one or two the supers, because you can. You might as well use them up. Sorry, not the supers, the normal X attacks. Because you know later on you'll still have enough for the super. I don't know. The art style is very nice, and the whole theme of it's very nice, like the old styly cartoon. The music's fantastic. There's a couple of times I've gone into the start menu, and there's just the Cuphead and Mugman is the name of the one. He sounds more like some kind of weird rapper. Cuphead and Mugman, they just stood there bobbing away to the music with like an old styly cartoon title over the top saying Cuphead. It just says press start, but I've just sat on that menu for ages, just listening to the theme song as it goes around telling their story, because it's quite entertaining. I don't know, do you think you'll give this a go, Dave? I'm assuming Aaron's not.
Cuphead's something I probably will try at some point.
Do you think you'd do it co-op, or do you think you'd do it solo?
It's probably only something that I'd ever dabble with, so it's likely to be a solo effort.
So there's an interesting thing about co-op and solo. So boss battles where you're on the one screen and you're not moving around, you're moving around, but you're moving around in the fixed space, are easier with two people, because if you die, the other person can go over your body as it floats away. And if they get there in time, you know, you turn into a ghost and you start to float away. If they get there in time, they're just one button press and you come back to life.
Okay.
So that sort of gives you like almost, as long as you can get to them, it almost gives you like it makes it a lot easier to keep going, because you know you can take that hit, and if they can get, there's like a last chance for them to revive you, and you can just keep going round and round and round. In solo, of course, if you die, you die. That's it. You got to restart the whole level. There's no checkpointing or anything. But there are other missions. So that's about, I think there's like, in each world, there's about 7 bosses, and there's about 2 levels called run and gun levels, which are the platforming levels I assume they added in.
Okay. Well, was there originally no platforming?
No, originally I believe it was just the boss battles in the game.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then a lot of people, when they found out it was just boss battles, were a bit dismayed at that. So they went away and added in some platforming levels, which, I mean, you know, with just the boss battles, it probably would have been enough looking at it now. But I think the platforming level is quite good. They allow you to get the coins, which allow you to buy the stuff. Those, though, because the screen's moving, scrolling with you, it's quite tricky with 2 people, because you sort of have to be, you know, you've got things coming in from the left and the right of the screen trying to hit you.
Right.
And if you've got 2 people, it becomes very tricky if one of you gets onto the right-hand side of the screen and one of you still stuck on the left-hand side of the screen because you didn't take the opportunity to jump or whenever it is, whenever the moment came to jump. So the person on the right of the screen could be hit by something coming in from the right-hand side at any moment because they can't see it coming. It could just come in and hit them. You know, a bird flies in or something, or I can't remember what there are. There's weird animals like roll in and it will just hit you because you're not going to be able to anticipate it. Because you have to wait for that person on the left-hand side of the screen to catch up with you. So on those levels, it becomes a lot more tricky to do two-player, because you really have to manage going at exactly the same speed. And you really want to be, you know, not stopping, not hesitating, just going for it on those levels.
Mm-hmm.
So two-player makes this... It's interesting, because you can revive and stuff on those levels as well. But it's interesting, because those levels are a lot harder, but the boss battles become... a lot easier. I think the bosses do become more tanky in two-player, though, so I'm not 100% sure. But, of course, you can shoot down the projectiles and stuff. They fire in a bit easier and things if you're 2 people. You have a wider spread of things you can shoot. So, where am I? I think I'm just about the second world. I don't know how many worlds there are. I've beat about 10 bosses so far. You know, if there was just a third world and that was it, I'd be quite happy. I think there's 5 worlds, but I'm not sure. So there's probably around 25 bosses, 20 to 25 bosses, which is quite significant. You know, it's not a small game, especially with the difficulty and the number of extras and stuff. You know, I've heard about some extra difficulty modes that are meant to be quite difficult. So I'm gonna keep plowing away at that. It's quite addictive, but also it's one of those games, you know, when you come away, you're like, your fingers are hurting, you're like, ah, oh, I'm getting a RSI in my hand.
Oh yeah, actually, I've got a bit of RSI in my thumb at the moment, my left thumb.
Now last night I was playing some Kingdom Hearts,
yeah,
and I'm on almost near the end of the game, and I'm fighting one of the end of the final bosses, and the attack button is just one button, so I was just jamming and jamming and jamming this attack button. I must have tried this boss battle about 11, 12, 13 times. It's difficult because it is like the final, or I think it's somewhere near the penultimate boss or something. I'm assuming I'm near the end based on the story and based on what's happening and the difficulty, and what I've already seen. So I'm just jamming away on this boss. Eventually I got to a point where I was like, all right, my fingers can't take any more of this. Switched over to Cuphead, and then it was the triggering. So it was the X button on Kingdom Hearts, and it was the trigger on Cuphead, because I remapped all... Oh, if you ever get... I remap your controls if you play Cuphead. Put Why? More on your shot. Because it's X to shoot, and then, you know, triangle to change weapon, circle to dash and stuff. So you're using the same finger. Whereas if you put it on, I put my dash on L2 and my shoot on R2, and then like my super on R1. So, and jump is still X.
Okay.
So, you know, it gives me, I can do them all at once a bit easier. I found that remapping, you know, change weapon is triangle like it would be in a shooter. So I found it was a lot easier to, you know, you don't need to change your weapon that often. So putting that on triangle makes more sense than putting it on L1. Which I can't remember what's on L1 now. Maybe dash is on L1 and there's 2 things. There's a dash move you can do, and there's like a parry move you can do. And I put one of those on L1 and one of those on L2.
Okay.
Instead of whatever they were before, square and triangle, which didn't really help because you can only press, you know, when you need to have very lightning quick reactions. My fingers aren't that twitching quick. So yeah, I would recommend remapping the controls. But yeah, I was giving then I was getting RSI on the on my index fingers. I was trying to press the trigger on Cuphead. So I eventually, and I don't think I beat either boss in the end. I just gave up. I must have spent about 3 hours trying to beat two bosses in the two games. I don't think Bloodborne, Dark Souls. I don't know if I don't like it. I've not really given it a proper go.
See, again, talking about games that just, but it's just it's never appealed to me to even, give it a go.
I think the difficulty thing actually, in some way, puts me off of that.
Mm.
Like I don't want to be messing around like dodging stuff and I don't mind it sometimes, you know, if it's a clever boss design and stuff. But with Dark Souls, some of it comes across as you have to sort of glitch the boss and things. I think I don't know. I'm not gonna talk about a game I've not really played. I played one of them for a bit, but
some of the older games you used to try. It used to be a matter of trial and error until you found out the little tactic of hiding in such and such a corner and pressing this button over and over again until you beat it. Or
that seems what Dark Souls is, doesn't it?
Even Cuphead's a bit like that with some of the bosses. I found that if I position myself here, it's very hard for him to hit me because his projectiles don't go that way. So I'll just sit myself here and plow away into him because the bosses are massive. They can hit. You just have to shoot and you'll hit them. It's more a case of avoiding their attacks, which is the problem. So I've sort of found that in Cuphead a little bit, which is, I don't know, is that cheating the game or is that what you're expected
to do? No, Cuphead, that's what you're expected to do.
It's just finding the
tactic. It's famously quite a difficult game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's known for being quite tricky.
One of the things that annoy me is there's this genie boss. It's a weird thing with the genie boss. Okay, so if you've seen the art style for this game, it's all very cartoony and stuff.
Mm.
The genie boss, I don't know if you can find him, but his background is like a rotating 3D world. Like the thing that's going on in the background, which is very unusual considering the rest of them are obviously all these 2D cartoony backgrounds. Have a look it up on YouTube, maybe after the show and see. I don't know what the genie's boss name is, but I just found it a bit out of place. Maybe it is indicative. Maybe there was things like that at the time in that style. Maybe it does. Maybe they saw something in an old cartoon and thought, okay, they did do this and they can recreate it. It didn't really. It looked more like 3D animated than 2D, though. With that genie boss, you know, the first attack he does is random. He opens up a genie's chest. I don't know what genie's chest. He opens up a chest and something random comes out. You know, there's four different attacks. And one of them just shoots out loads of rubbish out of the, not rubbish, but trinkets out of the chest. And they just fly at you. And I found that one actually, you know, if I got one of the other ones, I worked out how to avoid them. But that one, it was just like, they were so quick. I was just, they're just hitting me left, right and center. And my colorblind doesn't help. It makes it a little bit hard to spot some of the pink, because the pink ones you can parry. It makes it a little bit hard to spot some of those on time for me. I can see them easy enough, but you know, it's just that split second extra that it takes me to recognize them and take advantage of them.
Yeah, I heard a couple of people complain about the fact that it's pink for the damageable bits, so the color blindness is the problem. It's a big problem.
The pink's fine for me. I can see the pink most of the time. I think there might be one or two items in the game that are pink, and I haven't worked out if they're pink or not. Through trial and error, you can normally work out most of them. Yeah. It's more a case of it's just that extra, you know, I don't think it would matter what colour it is. It's just that extra second it takes me to work it out. And I don't know if there's a way they could have a way around that.
Presumably there is.
Yeah.
They just offer a custom colour.
Yeah, I don't know what colour I could choose where it would be obvious to me.
But that's the point. If you had just a custom colour picker,
I would have to pick the colours for everything then.
Or you could just have one damage to be this colour.
Yeah, but that's what. It would take me a second or two. It doesn't really matter which colour. It would still take me that time to work out, that's the one I have to. Because, you know, these are still items that are all different shapes and sizes and, you know, have outlines and things on them and stuff. They just got to have a bit of pink, or most, if they're mostly pink, then you can parry them. Like, you know, if I change it to mostly blue, I'll be like, okay, is that blue or purple? It's that split second. Or, you know, I'll change it to green, is that green or red? If I change it to yellow, is that yellow or orange?
See, what it's interesting on Splatoon 2, what Nintendo chose to do is they have made the colours so that you can pick the two teams. So,
but you're only dealing with two colours then?
Correct.
Whereas with Cuphead, the game already uses the full spectrum of colours for items. It's not any specific item.
Yeah, but it could just let you pick whatever you want, couldn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, what obviously Simon's saying is that you could pick a colour of an object that's already that colour.
Yeah. Or, and you know, and also it's irrelevant what colour it is to me. You know, it still takes me that second to make sure it is that colour.
Mm.
It doesn't really matter what colour I change it to. Obviously, some colour blindness is worse for me than others. But I think it just takes me that extra moment to be like, oh, that's a pink one. Or is it? Oh, yeah, it is. Just because I have to make sure my colour blindness isn't tricking me. Like, you're the optician, man. You know, you probably know more about...
Yeah, but that's my point. Yeah, you could pick... There will be colours that
I would instantly recognise that it's that colour.
Correct.
See, I'm not sure there is, you know.
There is.
I think at the speed you need to do it in Cuphead, I think whatever colour... If someone asks me a colour of anything, it'll always take me a second or two to try and make sure that it is that colour.
Mm.
Maybe that's just me, I don't know. Like, obviously I have a predominant type of colour blindness. I think it's Deuteranopia.
Deuteranopia is the most common.
Yeah, I think I have that. But I'm also fairly sure I do have elements of the other two, because whenever I do, you know, like, the can you see the number in this and stuff, it's not always... Deuteranopia is red green, isn't it?
Deuteranopia is roughly red green, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not always red green that catches me up. Blue purple does catch me up sometimes.
So you won't be Deuteranopia, you'll be like Protanomalous or something.
Yeah, like I think, but other things catch me out as well. You know, pink purple could catch me out, or you know, orange yellow can catch me out. So, like I said, that could just be me. So it might just be a case of, you know, it doesn't really work for me. I find, so, you know, if I went into Splatoon, I would obviously choose purple and yellow, because I'm not going to mix up purple and yellow.
Right.
Or purple and green, you know, two colours that are diametrically opposed. Diametrically, is that the word?
Yeah.
I don't know if that works in this case. Yeah, two colours that are, you know, polar opposites almost. I don't know if they are actually polar opposites, but... You know, opposite sides of the colour wheel, or however it works. So yeah, I think that's going to be that might be an issue going forward. It's not too bad. I mean, it's just a second or two. I have to adjust for it. I have to adjust for it with everything. You know, it's not the game not offering colourblind. It probably does have a colourblind option in there. I haven't actually checked. Well, I don't see how for me changing anything in that would actually change. Like, you know, the other thing then is if I do change those items to a colour, that colour will be used elsewhere in the game, and without them setting up to swap every palette item, it simply wouldn't be possible. I don't know how feasible that would be, because a lot of that's hand drawn, isn't it, that game?
Mm.
So I doubt swapping whole colour palettes is, you know, unless they put like a filter over it or something. I don't know. Alright, we're going to speedy one this week, so we'll move on to Aaron's game for the week, which I've also played a bit of.
Alright, Bridge Constructor, Portal.
Yeah, indeed. How far have you got? I'm past the tutorial, I'm fairly sure.
I'm quite far on. I've got to a level where the springboard bats me into a laser beam.
Okay, I don't think I've got springboards yet.
Okay, and what I'm trying to do is on every level, I'm trying to keep all of my passengers.
Well, you don't actually have to do that, do you? I was going
to
say that.
No, you don't have to, but I suspect there is an achievement for keeping all of your passengers.
What are you playing this on, Aaron, on Steam?
Yeah.
Ah, you see, I'm on the phone, so there's no achievement for me anyway.
Yeah, so, on Steam, yeah. And it's weird because it gives you a progress on how far you you are through your achievements.
Oh, okay.
It's not, yeah, because Steam achievements, it's like you can do it on PlayStation things, can't you? You work out. Say you've got five.
Xbox does it.
Oh, is it Xbox? I can't remember.
And Steam does it. PlayStation doesn't actually do it. Well, PlayStation doesn't do it unless the game builds it in.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so I can say I'm 60% of the way through this, or I'm 60 out of 200 or something.
Yeah, Steam does do it. Steam does do it.
Yeah, Xbox definitely does it.
Yeah, so I'm doing all right at that, but yeah, this one I can't work out. I've done the convoy, so I've got all the cars through, but I can't work out how to do it without losing passengers.
Without losing the passengers, quite hard, because they could just fly off the back at any moment.
Oh yeah, you knock that cart too much, and the thing is, it's pinging them too high. So what I'm going to have to do is effectively build around that. But I think there's some way stopping you, because the blue lines stop you building through them.
So do you know if this is an achievement, or is this something you're...
I don't know, no.
You're assuming.
But I'm assuming. But so it was a challenge I was doing. Maybe I'll give up on it and just carry on anyway. Because I was quite enjoying it, but it was getting really frustrating trying to get this one done without losing passengers.
So I mean, even the normal bridge constructor games are quite tricky, aren't they? So
they can be, Yeah, I'm doing all right, but yeah, trying to do it without losing passengers is proving too tricky at the moment. So, as I say, I might give up and just restart again.
I'm having a look.
I'm trying to think the last time I played Bridge Constructor.
Well, there's different ones, aren't they? I've got several from several companies.
Right.
I don't think any of the achievements are hidden, so do you want to know if there is an achievement for that or not?
No. I'll just play it and see how it goes.
Okay.
The thing is, it's rare that I'll actually finish a game, so who knows whether I'll actually finish this game.
There's 60 levels.
Is that it? Because I think I must be about halfway through then, at least.
Yeah, I'm on 20-something, I think, yeah, or 10-something, 20-something. I think I've done Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. I'm not sure. I don't know if I've even come across turrets. Have I come across turrets?
You say there's turrets. There's... Yeah. Because... Have you got your workplace upgraded yet?
Oh, no. I think I've just gone to the place where... I've just gone back into the room where the person's... Maybe I've just finished Chapter 1.
Okay, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
But I was playing on my phone over Christmas. How was it like on Steam? I mean, on phone, it's a little bit fiddly sometimes with the small screen.
Yeah,
it's
great. I don't know how I'd play it on there, because, I've got...
I assume the phone version works the same way that the original Bridge Constructor phone version worked.
Yeah, possibly. So, on the back of this, actually... I did buy the original Bridge Constructor. I owned one of them. I think I owned the medieval one. But I did see. Let me see if I can find the website it was on. Well, I think it was on Fnac. But it was like £1, or like 89p on Fnatical for Steam versions of Bridge Constructor, Bridge Constructor Medieval, Bridge Constructor Playground, Bridge Constructor Stunts, and Bridge Constructor Trains Expansion.
Okay, because when I bought the Portal one, I got the Bridge Constructor.
The first one,
and I've already got Medieval.
I mean, for 89p, you'll get the other two and the DLC for the first one. Still.
Yeah, I'm not sure I need that many Bridge Constructor games. There's only so much of Bridge Constructor I can get through.
It's a weird thing. I had a hankering to play it, like, I don't know if it was last Christmas or something. I was just like, I really want to try Bridge Constructor. And I don't know what put the... Sometimes it's... I don't know why. It's just one of those games you're like, I really feel like playing Bridge Constructor. I think it's just like the puzzle element of it that gets me sometimes. Sometimes I get an urge for Tetris or something as well.
I'm trying to remember what the other Bridge Constructor game I've got. Because I've got Medieval, the first one, and Portal now. But there's another Bridge Constructor game I've got.
There's one by... I believe there's one by a different different developer.
Yeah, I've definitely got another...
Polybridge?
It could be Polybridge.
There's Polybridge, there's Bridge 2, Bridge It, Well, no, there's quite a few.
Okay, maybe I haven't got that then. Maybe it's just on my wish list then.
Polybridge, I think, is the one that came out last year. No, well, sorry, 2016, which is going to be quite good.
Okay, maybe that's on my wish list rather than me previously having it. Because I can't find anything else with Bridge in its name on my Steam library. So, I see. I don't know. Yeah.
So I've got Bridge, like every project. Single Bridge thing.
Well, that's because you just put this 89p pack last week.
You've gone Bridge crazy.
Bridge crazy, yeah. But there's quite a lot of ones outside. So that's the Bridge Constructor brand, which I think is probably the highest. Though looking on Steam here, you know, if you want to make a decent game, make a Bridge game. You can't seem to go... Oh, no, wait, here we go. Here's the lower rating ones. I say you can't seem to go wrong, but the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... 9, there's a lot of these, by the way. 10, 11, 12... The top 13 Bridge games are all positively rated. I think maybe three of those aren't actually Bridge games. Artemis Spaceship Bridge Simulator? Probably not a Bridge game. Oh, one of those is Star Trek Bridge Crew, of course. So that's not a Bridge game. But the rest look like Bridge games of some kind. There is some bad ones, though. Bridge 2, Bridge Creator 2015. Bridge-tastic. Bridget. Bridget.
That's amazing.
I wonder if this is the same developer as the other.
That's not genuinely a thing, is it, Bridget?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bridget. Yeah.
Genius.
Bridget Plus. Bridge Project. There is a lot of these. They're all very similar. It used to be an old. I think there was an old game that used to do this, wasn't there? There used to be a lot of Flash games that did this, I believe. Are they Flash games that did it? It's certainly something I've come across before. You know. A long time ago, none of these recent ones. I mean, what do you think about the additions that the Portal one makes, Aaron?
The extra portal bits. The humour isn't great.
No, it's not quite there, is it?
It's a bit flat. But having the portal there and the gun turrets and things. That does add a lot to it. It doesn't. Because the normal Bridge Constructor, it's quite fun, but it's more about resource management than actual construction. Because it's about how cheap can you make this bridge and still make it stand up. Whereas the Portal one is how wacky can we make this path so you have to.
Yeah, there isn't actually a budget thing in it, is there?
No, it does tell you how much it cost, so maybe there's an achievement or something for getting...
I don't think it makes a difference. Whereas in the other ones, you are limited by a certain amount, I think. You know, you get certain stars if you get it below a certain price cost.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm just watching a preview for the stunts one. This one looks crazy. I might have to give this one a go. Oh my God.
This is the height of audio entertainment here, guys.
Instead of building the bridge normally, you turn it into a ramp with a loop-the-loop. And like you got a truck that's like flying around everywhere.
I don't think you're gonna sell me on this one, Si.
Oh my! You got a truck that's doing backflips. Come on, Dave.
I'll probably love it.
You would. I bet you would love it. I mean, do you know, it's just the kind of game you'd sit down and be like, okay, I'll just give it this quick play. And then you'd be like at it for hours. You'll have lost time. You don't know where the time has gone. I need to keep playing through. You reckon you're about halfway through, do you say, Aaron?
I probably, yeah. I'm close to halfway through. I'm not sure I am a halfway through. Maybe I am. Maybe this one is the one that gets me halfway. And I've finished it, but I just haven't finished it without losing passengers.
I believe... Is it 10 years since Half-Life 2, Episode 2 now?
Oh, very possibly.
Oh, it's a long time.
It's longer than episodic.
Let's have a look. 2007, Half-Life 2, Episode 2. No, October 10th, 2007. So I was... It might have been a few weeks, but yeah, so it's been 10 years now. So yeah. You know.
And that was the last time that Valve made games.
No, Portal 2. Dota.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, they do.
There is an interesting infographic with, I think, you know, after Dota was released, then suddenly nothing. And there's a similar one with Rockstar, a game every year, GTA 5 Online in 2013, and nothing since.
Yeah, they've just been adding content to GTA Online though, because it's just on the new the new heist thing, the sort of a half story, half half game, haven't they? Half bigger game.
So Dota 2 in 2013, and then since then Valve have done
nothing.
Counter Strike Online 2, that's a Korean game. Counter Strike Nexon Zombies. I don't know what. I don't even know what that is. What is that? Didn't even know there was a Counter Strike Zombies game. Left 4 Dead Survivors. That's an arcade game. That's 2014. They did The Lab in 2015. The VR one.
Yep.
This is interesting. They're releasing a CCG in the Dota universe. Right. Yeah, Artifact. It's called. Because every single MMO / what are those bloody games called? The RTS ones. MOBA. Every MMO / MOBA needs a card game to go along with it, don't they?
Yeah.
How many? We're going to have more collectible card games. I mean, people go on about battleground games being the new thing. It's not. It's card games. Like, what we, you know, there's Blizzard have got theirs, Bethesda have got theirs, you've got The Witcher one, you've got real life, you know, you've got Pokemon, you've got Magic the Gathering, there's just loads of them.
Well, there's Lightseekers as well, because I've just been thinking about that, because I've just started editing the interview we did.
Yes, if you're interested in Lightseekers at all. We will be putting the 360 video up shortly. Is the audio one of that one that we've released, Aaron?
No, because that's
it's very visual, isn't it?
Well, it requires a lot of work to clean up the audio because there was some noise on the audio.
So we've got just do the video for that.
Well, no, I've got to clean the audio anyway.
I don't know how it would work with the audio.
I don't
the way
know.
It was done anyway.
Yeah. I'll release
because we're showing you the game and
The thing is, I've got to clean up the audio to release it on the video anyway, so I may as well. I'll release the audio, but it's best if you watch the video too.
It'd be interesting to see how that did, because I did see some of them a bit cheap a while back.
Yeah, I don't know how well it's done.
But some of them did start off at around £70-80, so.
Well, the figure was ridiculous.
That's what I mean. I saw some of the figures had dropped a bit in price at one point.
Okay.
That might have been a price error on a website, though.
Because there were Bluetooth sort of motion controllers, weren't they?
Yes.
The figures.
And they did other stuff as well. Yeah. They were NFC and things as well, weren't they?
And they had speakers in them. And it was weird.
Let's see how much they are. Let's see if we can get a rough estimate on how much they are. Thrax Hero, that was about 80 quid before Christmas, I think, is at 9 quid at Debenhams. Oh, it was 30 quid, it said, so he's 9 at Debenhams.
Okay.
So they've gone down quite a bit. Let's have a look, see where. I don't know if he was the expensive one or not. There was one that was
about like a card game as well, wasn't it?
It's a tablet game, a card game, and an action figure.
Okay. Tyrex Starter Pack 25, Mari Figure 15, Mari Starter Pack 25. Yeah, it looks like they've come down in price. I'm sure they were a lot more before. Maybe it was some of the
good ones.
Oh, they've released some new characters for it, though, by the looks of it, on Amazon. There's lots of extras and bits and pieces for it. Bundle pack, cards, booster set. I mean, you can actually just download the game and play it without any of this stuff. Interesting that some of the... I think you need the starter pack, though, don't you? You need one starter pack, and then you can buy the other figure separately, possibly. Because you can buy them solo, or you can buy them in a starter. Yeah, it was 23 quid. Oh, so they weren't as expensive as I thought then. I thought that some of them were up to 70-80 quid. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe they were in demand before and they jumped in price.
Yeah.
So it could have been that way around. So yeah, there's certainly enough. Well, that's all Valve have done, I guess. Do they have anything that's announced that's coming of an artifact?
Don't think so.
Trying to look at the ones which are unreleased and indefinitely on hold. Half-Life Episode 3, Half-Life Episode 4, Untitled Half-Life 2 episode. Prospero.
Weird one, they sort of gave up on it.
Stars of Blood. Stars of Blood. Oh, no longer in development.
So I've had... have we talked about what we've been playing over Christmas at all?
No, but we can save that for next week.
Next week. Okay.
I mean, we will get around to these games soon later. I completed Rise of the Tomb Raider, but that's a game that's... is that 2 years old now?
Yeah.
It's 1 year old for me, because I'm on PlayStation. But, I did do the Game of the Year edition, so I did play the DLC on it too. Very good game. In fact, that was a good point. Humble Monthly came out this week.
6-6?
Well, that's next month's early unlock. That's the cheapest you will ever be able to get it, about £9. Which is very good, yeah. And you'll get some DLCs with it too. The new DLC is about to come out, which is sorely needed. I think that's why they've done it. But last month was... it's this weird thing where last month had a very decent collection of games, but a lot of people will own two of them on it. So it had Tomb Raider, had Sleeping Dogs... But both very, 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 very good games. Trouble is they've been bundled and stuff or cheap so many times, I expect most people own them by now. Quantum Break, which was a very nice addition. The Long Dark, which is meant to be very good. Dawn of War 3, which isn't meant to be so great. Apparently it's a bit mobery.
It's got a bit of a bad rap, but I don't think it's actually...
I gave that a quick go last night. I only played for the tutorial, so I'll update. If it is mobery, I'm going to be annoyed, though. I really don't want to play another mobery game. Then a couple of Mr. Shifty, which is meant to be good. Cursed Castillo, High Swap Act 1, and Hitchhiker. But you know, there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 premium games in there?
Yeah.
Even if two of them have been dirt cheap in the past.
That's an excellent thing. It was Quantum Break, wasn't it?
Yeah, Quantum Break was one of them. But if Tomb Raider and Sleeping Dogs, you know, even if you've managed to pick those up in the past, that's very, very high quality.
Good value. List.
Yeah, even the month before was quite good, you know, Sexy Brutale. Passport 2, BlazBlue, Rivals of Aether.
I tell you what, I quite like the look of the indie one, the Hitchhiker one.
Is that the original for this month, is it?
Yeah.
Sometimes they do end up hitting Steam, some of these ones. I've not seen all of them hit Steam, but it's interesting to go back and have a look through and see which ones you have got Steam keys for.
Yeah, I've got to do an evening of sitting down and redeeming stuff.
But yeah, Civ 6. Go get Civ 6.
I've got it. It just downloaded.
You've been messaging me for weeks. You're like, £16. Shall I buy it?
I know. This is the first sort of humble thing where I am just over the moon.
So you hadn't bought it. You'd never pulled the trigger on those other prices.
No.
Oh, so now here you are, happy man.
I'm a really happy man.
Okay. Aaron, what's the other news we have?
News-wise, Mad Cats. They're attending CES. They're all closed down.
They don't exist.
I believe they've got a new... somebody else owner to fund them. Yeah.
Is it going to be like the Atari thing where someone's just named them off? And?
I don't know. We'll see. They're saying they're going for quality. But we'll see what their version of quality looks like.
I think Mad Cats has always been this weird mix, hasn't it? Where some of it's been quality, some of it's been
they work both ends of the market. So they do really good quality stuff and some really nice cheap stuff that if you just need a controller for your kids to play about on and then bash about and mess about on, just get one of their cheap controllers.
We are starting to see more third-party Xbox One and PS4 controllers now.
I bought a third-party PS4 controller.
Oh, you have? I knew there were Xbox ones, but...
Yeah, I got Hanori, is it? A wired...
Hori.
Hori, that's it. A wired controller.
For PS4?
For PS4.
It's just it always takes a while. I don't know what it is about. Is it like a patent thing that they can't do it for a while, or...?
Yeah, it's up to Sony to give them the chips to allow them to do it.
But there's no touchpad in it, right?
No, there's no touchpad.
Okay.
It's a small little kid's sort of size thing. The kids were fighting over it. They preferred it to the bigger, wireless controller. They really wanted the little controller.
Dave, last week you were telling me about Nintendo Switch. Maybe you would like to enlighten our rulers, our listeners, or our rulers.
The Magic NS.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little USB Bluetooth dongle that just plugs into the Switch's dock. Well, I guess if you use the USB-C converter, you could plug into the Switch itself. And it lets you use virtually any controller with the Switch.
It works on the PC as well. I was looking at it.
Hmm.
So you can actually connect your Switch controllers and other controllers and get them to work in a PC as well.
Mm.
So it's another way of getting PlayStation controllers on the PC.
I mean, PlayStation controllers now on a PC, you just plug them in.
Yes.
And you can just Bluetooth them as well.
You can, but then it works fine in Steam, but other places not so much.
There is an adapter you can download.
Well, you have to get that separate software. But I believe this dongle is compliant.
But it's becoming easier and easier to use a PS3 controller on... Sorry, a PS4 controller on PC.
It is, but it's...
I think Microsoft updated their... drivers that allowed it, I think.
Did they?
Something changed system side, because I found it suddenly it recognizes it a lot more. I was having to use a third party tool before, and now, like Cuphead, I just went straight into Cuphead. I know that's on Steam.
Well, I thought Sony updated the drivers to allow it to work.
Well, there is the remote play thing on PC now. So you would assume there is at least some.
Yeah, but it doesn't do direct input, it does X input all. Vice versa, so.
Hmm. And what's the other piece of hardware news, Aaron?
Other piece of hardware news? Oh, the chip bugs. So there is a specific Intel and some other chips. It's not just Intel. It does some mobile.
It's ARM and AMD are affected to a lesser degree, but there is one bug that is exclusive to Intel.
And something else was iPhones are affected.
Yes.
Yeah, because they use the ARM chip.
They use ARM. Yeah. But that's the Meltdown thing.
Yeah, Meltdown is exclusive to Intel.
No, it does affect other chips as well.
I thought Spectre is...
Spectre affects everything.
Right.
Because it affects any... Oh, God, what is it? Out of... Oh, I can't remember the words now. It's out of...
It's like random ordered...
Yeah,
task or something.
Yeah, where the instructions aren't executed in sequence, they're out of order processing. That any chip that does that is affected, by Spectre. But Meltdown, it affects Intel chips since about 95, and some mobile AMD and ARM chips, I think. But it's a bit limited on that. But
so how do I know if my chip is affected or not?
Well, what?
How do I know if my chip is a possibly affected chip?
It is affected by Spectre, which is the worst of the two. But every
chip for the last 20 years or something, isn't it?
Yes.
Right. So the chances of it is 99% that my chip will be affected.
It's 100%, unless you're running some really old chip.
I've got i3, I think, or an i5.
I think it's anything Pentium and above or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember what chips. But yeah, anything you'll be running modern computers will be affected.
And the Meltdown chips?
The Meltdown is still any Intel.
And you can't protect yourself against these.
Meltdown, you
so
can.
Meltdown, Intel haven't released a fix, but...
Windows have.
So Windows have released a fix, and all the browsers have released a fix for Meltdown.
And...
Apple still haven't released a fix.
No, they have.
They have now, have they?
For Meltdown, but not Spectre.
No one can fix Spectre.
So I'm assuming my Windows has updated itself. I don't know.
Last week?
I haven't seen my Windows update in the last week. I think last week was the last time my...
Yeah, it's Tuesday. It updated Tuesday.
I think it updated like Monday or the week before. I'll check for updates.
Today was the first time that I turned my PC in over a week and it updated.
I mean, you would have thought... my device is up to date, it says, on Windows.
But it will slow your machine down.
You update history.
But yeah, it says it slows it down by up to 30%, but I was reading that that's more to do with sort of database functions.
Well, no.
So it shouldn't affect games.
Well, 30% is more for the VMware stuff, for virtual stuff. 20-something percent for database C-type stuff. Mm. Games should be affected by about 10%, depending on how the game works and what other hardware you've got, depends on how much the CPU needs to be protected. Because I think it's something... I'm out of my depth here because I haven't read enough about it, but I think it's something to do with the OS user space switching.
I can't actually see where my Windows has updated it. It updated on Friday, but that was a quality update rather than a feature or other update.
Well, then, I don't know. It's Microsoft. They might have specified that as a quality update. Because it's not a feature, is it? It's not a feature. It's a security update, I guess.
Doesn't say anything here in the patch notes. This is to do with like Microsoft Edge and touch keyboards and stuff.
I don't know. But they did release, Windows released a patch, and I believe Apple has now released a patch for Meltdown.
I'll check why my system doesn't seem to have done that. Unless it didn't come through the normal...
unless it just didn't put it...
Oh, Microsoft had done a Spectre fixer.
Have they? Okay.
And it's crashing AMDs.
Great. Sounds right.
So they did it 4 days ago, so I don't know.
I think AMDs
What was fun is they announced Meltdown like 5 minutes before they announced Spectre.
Yeah.
And all the AMD, like, you can imagine Reddit, like, started to go wild about AMD. And then suddenly everyone was just like, oh.
Yeah, but didn't somebody sell their stock? An Intel exec sold their stock before they announced it?
Yep, insider trading. Yeah. I hope they get bashed for that.
So that was quite a nasty thing to do.
They're not allowed to do that.
Because he normally sells a certain amount of stock each year. But apparently it's sold 10 times the normal amount that he sells every year. So it looks dodgy as hell.
They can imprison him for that, can't they? I think that counts as insider trading.
Yes, I believe it does, yes.
I hope so. They need to make an example of people who do this.
So, But, AMD stock did rise.
And AMD rose, did it?
Yes, it did.
On the back of Intel chips, right? No, that's interesting because it affects all chips, though, doesn't it?
It does, but obviously it's less affected.
Okay.
So if you've got a server farm running AMD, you're going to be less affected, in theory, than you are running a server farm of Intel, because of the big impact of the Meltdown on performance. And you don't need to apply the Meltdown to these AMD chips. So therefore, you're getting more bang for your buck for AMD now. So therefore, the price went up. The fact that they're both affected by Spectre is, means that's a level playing field.
So there is a Windows Spectre update.
Okay. We'll have to see how much that mitigates. We'll have to see.
Wonder when that got released.
I don't. Unless it's released tomorrow, I don't.
That's what's been bricking AMDs today.
Oh, okay. Are people getting it early then, maybe?
I don't know, possibly. I wonder if these are all phased maybe rollouts or something.
Or maybe they're insiders. Because you can sign
Because I don't think I've got the other... I don't believe I've got the other updates looking at my update history.
I don't know, because my machine's... what's the thing? MDM... No.
MDMA.
I can't remember. Mine's a dev license. Anyway, my gaming machine.
Let's hope before we all slow to a crawl from the Spectre and the meltdown. Let's finish up. We did have some people let us, well, maybe one person I think,
yes,
let us know what games they're looking forward to for the next year, and what games.
Yeah.
Who wrote in and what game did they want?
Josiah Spooky McSlave on Twitter said he's looking forward to Spider-Man PS4 and Detroit Become Human.
I think we'd highlighted those as potential goods and potential bads, hadn't we?
Detroit Become Human has the
David Cage.
Yeah, could go either way. I suspect I'll like it even.
I like Beyond Two Human. Beyond Two Souls, sorry.
Yeah, I quite like Beyond Two Souls. I didn't get on so much with the other
Heavy
one.
Rain.
Heavy Rain, but that was
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit I quite liked. Alpha Protocol, wasn't it?
No, Alpha Protocol was something different.
That's different. Okay.
Yeah, that's meant to be quite good actually. That's meant to have like all kinds of Mass Effect. Apparently, the gameplay in that is terrible. But everything around it is amazing. That's the kind of game that needs a remaster of the gameplay.
Yeah.
Because the story's good, the choice, the changes that happen, the different endings that happen, all that kind of stuff's going to be quite good. And then just crap shooting, like PS2 level shooting, third person shooting. If anyone else wants to let us know what games they're looking forward to, you can email us, the Loopcasters. We didn't actually. Maybe someone did email us. Did anyone email us?
No one emailed us. I keep track of the emails.
TheLoopcasters@hotmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @TheLoopcasters. You can follow Dave
@Flashy.
Double Y. Wait, is that what the old bird used? What was that bird called? In Play Days.
Big Bird.
No, that's Sesame Street. Was he not called Double Y? Y Bird. He was called Y Bird, wasn't he?
Possibly.
He was like an owl. He was an owl. He was called Y Bird. But you have a Sesame Street character as your.
I don't.
Do you not have a Sesame Street character as your profile picture on Twitter?
No, it's a Muppet.
He's on Sesame Street too.
Fuzzy Bear is not on Sesame Street.
Is he not? No. This came up when I was playing. What was I playing? Knowledge is Power or was it Jackbox? One of the two, and it was Sesame Street or the Muppets.
Yeah, they're.
And
they're,
it was actually quite hard with some of them because some of them are, a bit of both.
No, because they're all completely separate, aren't they? Sesame Street.
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog. Does he appear on Sesame Street? Does he?
Yeah, he does. He's a main character on Sesame Street.
Kermit.
He might be the only one. Yeah, Kermit's on Sesame Street for sure.
Yeah. No, well, his nephew appears, doesn't he, as well?
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
Let's have a look. Sesame Street and Muppets. There must be a few. Maybe it's only Kermit.
Maybe.
Oh, no, it's only Kermit, and they have different rights for both of them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw his nephew on there, but I could be wrong. Yeah, I don't watch. Kids don't watch that. They don't watch Sesame Street much.
Kermit the Frog is the only character to have appeared on Sesame Street.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
However, they have Sesame Street Muppets have been. In Muppet episodes.
Oh, Sesame Street characters have been in Muppets. Okay.
Yeah, it's happened the other way around. So there is a bit where Big Bird appears on the Muppet Show, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like he's the only one. I think we're getting distracted. Aaron, yeah. Where can people follow you on Twitter, on the Tweetler?
I'm on at AaronHUK on Twitter.
You can follow all my deals at UKVG Deals, where you would have found that £9 sieve. Actually, it's still there. That's for the rest of the month. You can get that until the first Friday in February. First Friday in February. Easy to remember. And where else could be? You can come follow us on Facebook. Where, Aaron, what will be appearing on Facebook in the next couple of days?
Facebook, we will have a interview up there. I have yet to decide which 360 video will be up there, but one of
I say next couple of days. I don't want to overpressure you, Aaron.
This week, let's say this week, by the next one of these episodes, there will be. Oops, that didn't work. There will be another one up there. I suspect which one will I put up there first? I don't know. Maybe the Rebellion one. So that's
Sniper Elite. No, not Sniper Elite. Strange Brigade.
Strange Brigade and
Rogue Trooper.
Rogue Trooper Redux.
Rogue Trooper's already out, but yeah. Rogue Trooper Redux is out. Yeah. Strange Brigade.
Yeah. So I'll try and get that one up because that covers two games then at least.
You can watch that. How do people watch these 360 videos? What's the best way to?
It's quite tricky, but you can use the Oculus Facebook app to.
Let's say you got one of those Google Cardboard type things or a VR headset at Christmas.
Just go to Facebook.
Plug it into your headset.
Just choose the thing. You can actually watch it without a VR headset. You can watch it as a 360 video, and then you can move your phone around to look at different pieces.
I'm assuming we don't. It doesn't give the double view, or does
that
it?
Doesn't give you the double view, but it allow you. Even with your iPad, you could look around you yourself. So you are stood right there in the interview, and you can look around and see what's around you.
Okay.
While the interview is happening. I will be putting other details up and things like that around.
Okay, might these appear on YouTube as well? Have we worked out the logistics? I
will attempt to put them on YouTube, and if the encoding and the metadata work correctly, they will work fine there as well. There's also a Bomber Crew. There's a Bomber Crew 10-minute teaser to go up as well, so I'll try and get that up this week as well.
Great stuff. I think that about wrap it up for this week. Should we just say bye? There's nothing else to say, is there?
No,
there is.
Wait.
Oh.
Bye.
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 Bye.